Good evening, everyone. Make sure I'm on the mic here. Can you all hear me okay? Okay, great. I'd like to call this meeting to order February 1st, 2023. Our regular meeting at 5 p.m. Before we have our pledge and our moment of silence, I would like to, for us to remember one of our own, Mr. Cecil Cobb, left his earthly home on yesterday. He came on the board in 1996, and he served 12 years. Out of those 12 years, he was 6 years, he was the chair of the board. He's one that is a mentor to me. I'd never live up to the way he was chair during that time, but I sat in the audience a lot and watched him with the other board members. He was an excellent chair. So we are going to stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And when we have our moment of silence, would you please remember Cecil Cobb, Tanya, and their family. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Dead
screen. Oh, you got a dead screen? Yeah. Come up right now and check that out.
All right, we have first, number three, adoption of the agenda.
Yeah. Madam Chair, if we can add one item under new business, right?
All right.
So we've got an Eagle Scout resolution that we would like for the board. Unfortunately, by the next time we meet, it'll be after when they meet for the Eagle Scout Award, and it's just more efficient if we can get the board to approve an Eagle Scout resolution ahead of time. And is the resolution in the package?
Right there.
Yeah.
And okay, so I would ask. Do that as new business.
New business, if we could.
Okay. All right, so we have that added. So now I need someone to adopt the agenda. That added.
Could we adopt the agenda as presented?
Mm-hmm. And we've added a new business.
The new Eagle Scout resolution on our new business.
Great. Second, please.
I'll second. Mm-hmm.
It was moved by Mrs. Eager and seconded by Mr. Fairchild. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Okay, we have two of our members absent this afternoon, Mr. O'Brien and Mr. Sheridan. So we have our county administrator's report.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a few things to report today. So one, Fluvanna County Parks and Rec is going to have their winter ball for all. It's held at the Fluvanna Middle School February 11th from 2 to 4 p.m. or 7 to 9 p.m. Ages are for 5 to 12-year-olds. It's $20 per couple or $5 for additional siblings. Join Parks and Rec for dancing and door prizes. Each youth escorted to the dance by a special adult in their life. Only one escort per couple, please. And the dancing is being held at two times, and you may only register for one particular time. And each dance time is limited to 200 couples. Registration ends February 6th at noon. No exceptions for anyone wanting to attend. They can register online at fluvanna.recdesk.com, or they can certainly call Fluvanna Parks and Rec at 434-589-2016. In addition, Parks and Recreation has youth nights. So youth basketball, girls varsity is Monday, February 6th, and boys varsity is Wednesday, February 8th. All Fluena Parks and Rec basketball players are invited to both the girls and boys varsity basketball games next week for youth nights. Fluena County Parks and Rec players should wear their jersey and will receive free admission to both games. And Mr. Spitzer, just so I understand this, this is for the high school games, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. They start at 7:30, I believe.
Yep, okay. Also, we're kind of planning and getting ready for our Fluena County tire drop-off and no hazardous waste collection.
There is hazardous waste this year.
There is, okay, hazardous waste, I'm sorry, that's for next year. Fluena County tire drop-off and hazardous waste collection, Saturday, March 25th at Pleasant Grove Park. Again, they take safe disposal of tires, gasoline, paints, thinner solvents, light bulbs. More questions, call Fluena County Parks and Recreation. The waste collection time will be 10 to 2 p.m. and tire collection will be 10 a.m. to noon. Proof of Fluena County residency is required. Early arrival is also always recommended, and limited collection capacity for the event as well. When the trucks are full, the event will close, and just kind of a reminder for those that wanting to attend, no commercial vehicles, no business disposal, no moving trucks, trailers, no electronics, no asbestos, no tractor tires or big rig tires, and 15 tires per resident, and they all must be off rims. And so again, anyone interested, they can scan the QR code, or if not, give Parks and Rec a call. Through the library, at the library, Fluvanna Tax Aid is expected to open for preparation income tax returns this tax season beginning the 5th of February. It's for those that need help preparing their taxes, you must make an appointment, and there's a couple ways to make an appointment. You can either go to taxaidcbill.wordpress.com and go to the homepage for Fluvanna appointments. Or there's a telephone number that can be called, and you know, just please leave a message. The telephone number there is 434-373-0984. After you made your appointment, there's a pickup pack of information that forms at the Fluvanna Library, and they please ask that you fill out forms completely before you come to your appointment, and gather all tax forms and papers with you before you go. And I think we got one more. And again, just some upcoming board meetings. So next week, we're kind of on the every week cycle now between the regular meetings and work sessions. So next week, February 8th at 7 p.m., we will have a constitutional officer's brief, a budget work session here. Then on February 15th at 5 p.m., we will have a budget work session where the Fluvanna County Public Schools will present their adopted budget to the board, and then at 7 p.m. we will have our regular meeting at that time. Happy to answer any questions that the board has at this time.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Dole?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right, we will now open our first public comment. I'd like for you, if you would like to speak to the board, please come to the podium, state your name and address, and speak with the board. And you have 5 minutes to do that. Anyone would like to speak to the board? I don't see anyone, so I will close the first public comments.
No. Madam Chair, I just anyone want to make sure.
Online?
I think there's someone online.
I keep talking about it online.
Y'all yep. Yep.
All right. Yes, sir.
Madam Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening. So Jeffrey Potter, 474 Covered Bridge Road, Kent Store. Wanted to bring to the board a situation that happened on January 25th at the Kent Store Firehouse, where there was a release of raw sewage into the kitchen and first floor area. I've been a volunteer for Fluvanna County for 18 years now, 18 years of public service. And it seems that there's a lot of things going on with that, and we need to get it fixed. It's a dangerous situation. Fecal matter in a kitchen or any living space is nothing to be taken lightly. So I've heard a bunch of different things, rumors, suppositions. I honestly don't care. I want it fixed, and I want it fixed correctly. So that being said, I'm not sure if the board's aware of what happened or the services involved. It seems like it's a pretty big mess. But once again, my only concern is volunteering for the county and doing that in a safe fashion. I mean, running into burning buildings isn't exactly safe, but that's one risk I'm willing to take on instead of exposing myself to airborne particulates like hepatitis and other things that I don't really want to be exposed to. So that being said, right now we're relegated to meeting in our bays, in the bay of the firehouse. That's the only place that we think is safe. I think we had hired an environmental quality tester to come in and give remediations or give suggestions and analysis. I'm not sure where that ended up, but this is a serious situation, and it affects the county and the residents of the county, especially our capability to serve them, even though we are volunteers. So I think that this can be very costly, and I know that there could be some costs involved to it, but we give a lot of our time. We do a lot personally. I give hundreds of hours a year in training and response. Like I said, for the last 18 years, and I've been in the fire service for 28 years. So that being said, I wanted to let the board be aware of that and apply pressure in the right places so that we can get this resolved quickly and we can get things back to normal at Kent Store. So I know I'm only 2 minutes 40 seconds in, so I will end early. But thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Potter. Anyone else would like to speak to the board? Anyone else online?
I see some folks, but I don't see anyone really. I don't see anyone else unmuting, so I think we're probably good at this point.
Okay, then I will officially close the first public comment. And we don't have any public, we don't have a public hearing, so we have our first action matters is A, TJPDC Hazard Mitigation Plan Adoption, Ian Baxter, MPP Planner 2. Hi, Ian, good evening.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good evening to members of the board. My name is Ian Baxter. I'm a planner at the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. We're coming before you today to ask you to adopt the 2023 Regional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan. Our plan was just approved last month by FEMA, and so currently it is in the adoption or approved pending adoption phase. But we're really excited to present this document to you, and I'd be happy to refresh your memory a little bit. I know I came before the board, I believe in June or July, to discuss what exactly the plan was, how it was conducted, and what some of the benefits to the county are, but I'd be happy to go through those again. So really the purpose of the Hazard Mitigation Plan is to prepare for natural disasters before they occur, and it's looking to reduce loss of life, reduce loss of life, property damage, and the disruption of commerce. Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, requires a plan as a condition for eligibility in certain mitigation grant programs. I'd be happy to talk to you folks about those as well. And this plan covers all jurisdictions in the Thomas Jefferson Planning District. So Albemarle, Charlottesville, Green, Louisa, Fluvanna, Nelson, and then the towns of Standardsville, Louisa, Mineral, and Scottsville. And so the plan itself essentially outlines the community profile, some of the demographic and topographic features of the region, a hazard identification and analysis, essentially general information about hazards in the planning district and a historic record of these natural hazards and then probability of future events. There's a HIRA matrix you might end up seeing on the screen that essentially ranks the top most dangerous in terms of relative risk hazards in the region. And then conducts a vulnerability assessment, so an analysis of the impacts that the hazards might have. And then finally, survey of the capacity to prepare for these natural hazards. There is a section called the mitigation strategy section, which basically we work with local emergency management staff at each of the localities to determine basically a list of action items, so kind of a wish list for what they'd like to accomplish over the next 5 years, which is how often the plan is updated in terms of emergency management and natural hazard prevention and planning. And the, obviously the FluVanna section is included in the draft plan. So that is the kind of broad overview of what exactly the plan is and does. I think of interest to you all might be the grant opportunities that adopting this plan opens you up for, and the those are two primary grant programs, one being the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, which is also a program that funds the update of this grant, and also the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities BRIC Project Grant. And both of these grants essentially allow localities to apply to the federal government and state government with a variety of projects, including acquiring and relocating structures from hazard-prone areas, retrofitting structures to protect them from floods, high winds, earthquakes, and other natural hazards, constructing safe rooms inside schools or other buildings in tornado-prone areas. Those are just examples. So essentially, this adopting this plan opens up FluVanna to be eligible for applying for these funds. And so essentially, you know, this is kind of just a prerequisite for that federal money. But also, I think, and perhaps just as importantly, this was an exercise in thinking about the future, thinking about how weather conditions, weather patterns have changed, thinking about the locality, the FluVanna County's capacity to prepare and react to these weather events. And so in that way, it's a good process for us here at the PDC to steward and encourage, but also for the localities to engage with themselves. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have about the plan.
Any questions? I would just like to comment that I learned a lot from reading the plan. Very well done. And I wanted to shout out to Debbie Smith, I think, who served on it. Is she the only one?
No, we had a small work group. I know Debbie had the heavy lift on it, but we had a small work group kind of early on from different, you know, from county administration. I think we had fire, we had sheriff's office.
Excellent.
I think we maybe had some other departments included as well.
And how long did it take you to pull all this together?
Year and a half, 2 years. So we started the plan update in earnest in August 2021. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, very well done. Now, there is a resolution, right?
There is.
That's right.
I'd like to pull the resolution. I think it's important that the community know what the resolution is, and if you would let me read it, please. You all okay?
Please.
Okay, FluVanna County adoption of the Regional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan. Whereas the Disaster Mitigation Act of 2000, as amended, requires the local government develop, adopt, and update natural hazard mitigation plans in order to receive certain federal assistance. And whereas the Thomas Jefferson Planning District's Regional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan has been prepared in accordance with FEMA requirements at 44C.5.F.201.6, and whereas the County of FluVanna has been involved in the preparation of the Regional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan, with Debbie Smith representing the county on the working group and holding a work session with TGPDC staff to identify mitigation actions for inclusion in the plan. And whereas the Virginia Department of Emergency Management, DEM, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, has approved the plan with no changes recommended. And whereas hazard mitigation is essential to protect life and property by reducing the potential for future damages and economic losses resulting from natural disasters. Now, therefore, Be it resolved, the Plumanna County Board of Supervisors does hereby adopt the Regional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan. The foregoing resolution was duly and regularly adopted by the Plumanna County Board of Supervisors of Plumanna County on this first day of February 2023. So, and there we need a motion.
I move the Plumanna County Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution entitled Plumanna County Adoption of the Regional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Second.
It has been moved by Mrs. Eager and seconded by Mr. Fairchild. I'm going to say Fairchild. Mr. Fairchild. All in favor?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye, and we have two people absent. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to read that.
Thank you.
Next, we have joint annual shareholders meeting proxy designation. Mr. Dahl.
Yeah. If you remember previously, I think this was back in probably September timeframe, the board appointed a proxy to be able to be a voting member at annual meetings for John. And when the board made that selection, it was for one annual meeting. After speaking with Jaunt with the Jaunt executive director there, there may be a need for additional times for the for a proxy to attend these shareholder meetings. So from that, there's a couple different ways we can do it. One, from an appointment standpoint, so if you remember, the board appointed Hal Morgan, who sits on the board. So the board can either, one, appoint Hal Morgan, they could appoint a different board member to attend, or they could appoint the county administrator. In addition, the appointment could be valid for, let's just say, for instance, if you wanted to appoint a board member or Mr. Morgan, you know, it could be appointed for one of the following: for 12 months from the date of this appointment, or until the end of their term for their particular seat. And I don't know, maybe Fred, when it says until the end of their term in office, would that apply for Mr. Morgan too, you think, probably as well? Or is that more specific to board members?
I think it's more specific to board members.
Yeah. So, I mean, so there's a couple different ways that the board can appoint that for someone to attend at additional meetings. So, like I said, I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know Mr. Morgan has done a good job being on the Jaunt board and being engaged, but, you know, the board can certainly make a different selection.
Okay, so you have heard Mr. Dahl, and what do you think we should do?
Is Mr. Morgan, does he want to continue to serve?
He would continue to serve, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like I said, for this, it is for a, I mean, like I said, if you appointed this, it would be for a 12-month, for 12 months from the date of this appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he's active with John, but if there's any further action, it can be through Mr. Morgan or it could be through someone else.
So Mr. Morgan is on for how long?
We're finding out.
Obligation.
Till June 30th, 2024.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what do you all think? Should I, do one of you want to be a part of that? No.
So, I mean, if he's doing well, let's stay with what's happening.
All right. Do we have to have a motion?
Yeah, there is a motion on this. Okay. I mean, so there's the motion. Mm-hmm. And so you have to say, do you want a board member, the Jaunt board member, or the county administrator? And then I would think it would probably be more appropriate for A, if the board intends to go with Mr. Morgan.
Okay.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the designation of
Hal Morgan.
Hal Morgan. Hal Morgan. To act as proxy at the annual meeting and any special meetings of the shareholders of Jaunt upon all such matters as may come before the shareholders, including without limitation to election of directors. This appointment shall be valid for the following term for 12 months from the date of this appointment.
Second.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Fairchild and a second from Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. It is done. C, fiscal year 23 American Rescue Plan Act Tourism Recovery Program Grant. Jennifer Smith, Director of Economic Development, and Tori Melton, the Director of Finance. Tori.
Well, I can start.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So I'm going to present to you about the ARPA Tourism Recovery Program through the Virginia Tourism Corporation. We were notified that we were eligible for $60,000 for tourism purposes. So the grant application was submitted December 20th, 2022, and we received the award notification on January 17th. So it's pretty quick.
Okay.
Fluvanna's allocation is $60,000 with no county match. So that's also
good.
Very good. Projects must be completed and funds expended by December 2023. And so it'll be this calendar year.
And let me just add one thing. We would normally, before we would submit a grant application, we would normally come to the board, and sometimes things happen so quick where we just couldn't. This one was kind of confusing from the get-go because some of the initial correspondence we got, it almost came out like it was going to like a mass list, and then towards the very end of December, it was going very specific to the county administrators, and even when we were kind of working on it it was almost the end of December, there were some things that weren't exactly clear, but we got clarification. So in order to get the funds, and since we knew there was no county match required, you know, we felt that it was appropriate to move forward with it so we could get in line to get the $60,000 that was allocated to the county.
So we literally had like 9 days to, from the time we actually vetted it to make sure that it was a legit offer, to submitting the application. So, and they, you know, jumped through a lot of hoops. But we did. We got it done. So then let's go over the marketing plan a little bit. So the funds will be used to create a full branding and marketing campaign focusing tourism outreach efforts on visitors locating for a relaxing day trip featuring agribusiness, art, history, outdoor recreation, and rural scenes. You may see that. I stole that from our strategic plan that we just adopted back in September. Three of the categories that we selected specifically are paid media. That will be our web ads and our influencer marketing. So we will actually target specific people based on those target points. Marketing production, logo and branding, video photography, blog, social media, and ad design. So we're going to refresh the website a little bit and really focus in on Visit Fluvanna and our assets. And then tourism development. Again, we just talked about the website. We're also going to do a visitor guide as well. So we'll partner with Aaron and the Pleasant Grove to make sure that we do a nice visitor guide for them.
Could this money be used to advertise the, we had a bicycle?
Yes, ma'am.
Relay race? Or
yes.
Not relay, but so would this be used for something like that?
Right. So once we finish the plan, so the next slide actually does show the breakdown and the timeline. So we actually had to go through all of these hoops to identify the category, the activity, the timeline, and how much money we're going to spend. So yes, to your point, we're going to look at outdoor Virginia Sportsman and a couple other magazines and obviously websites and all to make sure that we target those specific areas. For the mountain bike race as well as the Tri-Cal race that happens over at Lake Monticello. But then again, all of these other buckets that we talked about as far as agribusiness, art, history, each one of them will have its own area.
So Tori will be managing the funds.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow, that's a job. You have to keep up with the little $4,500 and the little $2,000.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah, and like I said, they'll create a project. I mean, yeah. So this money would go to the economic development budget, so
yeah.
They would create a project code, so it's very specific
to
that particular project code, so it's kind of a one-time thing.
Can you move funds, like if you We're not going to spend all of it on marketing, production, logo, brand. Can you move it to something else? Except your commission.
So we can, but then we have to log back into the portal that we went into and move it around. So we have to get their approval before we can do it.
Yeah, and there are some eligible and non-eligible types of things that you could do with the funds, because we originally looked at a few things and we thought it might be eligible, and there are some things that they weren't, and they came back and said, well, you maybe need to kind of try and do a little something different with it. So
we do recognize the items that he's talking about, we're going to use our budget for. So our tourism budget, to make sure that we can offset that cost. Okay. So it's not a lot. I think it was like $4,000 worth of stuff that we'll have to pay out of our budget. That's it. Do you have any other questions?
Wow, that's quite enough to take. Do you all have some questions?
I think I saw in a text maybe yesterday that Peggy talked to you about the FLDP group that's a part of that little group, and this seems to fit. I just texted them this. It seems to fit in well with what that little group is doing.
Yes, and I knew that, but I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag too early until you guys knew about it. So yes, she did speak to me. It's not totally going to fit with the timeline. Your video is going to come out ahead of it. But what I did tell her is that once we get our branding done, we can always feed it back to Horace or whoever is doing the video production and, you know, repackage it. So I think that there is definitely opportunity.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. This is quite exciting. What do you think about the blog? How are you going to tell me?
So part of the actual work that we're doing now, because we've got to go through procurement, right? It's $60,000, we hit that threshold, is In our description, we made sure to include that they're going to provide the content.
Oh, okay.
So we have to write it. So they're going to include that.
Well, they'll certainly work with Jennifer on you know, what's going to be going out, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good luck. Have fun. We're looking forward to seeing all the things you're going to come up with. All right, we have a motion. We have two. A motion one and two. Both of them go together, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, you need both motions. One is to ratify this, the grant and accept the 60, and the other one is to kind of further authorize me to sign documents and stuff associated with the grant, and then the supplemental appropriation for the economic development budget.
All right.
I move the Board of Supervisors ratify the submission of the application for the FY23 ARPA Tourism Recovery Grant in the amount of $60,000 for supporting tourism marketing.
Motion.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's motion by Mr. Fairchild and second by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye on motion one.
I further move the Board of Supervisors authorize the County Administrator to execute contracts and agreements associated with this grant, subject as to form by the county attorney, and authorize a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $60,000 to the economic development budget in FY23 for the ARPA Tourism Recovery Grant, with funding to come from the state grant award.
Second.
Okay. It has been motioned by Mr. Fairchild and seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The chair votes aye on motion two. We have no appointments. We have no presentations. Anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda? Let me read what's on the consent agenda. D, minutes of January 18, 2023. VDOT secondary road acceptance. Job description, update information technology technician to information technology specialist, director of human resources, Donna Snow. Draper Aiden, project agreement 2012. Fork Union Business Park subdivision plot. Purchasing order, officer, and Jennifer Schmidt, director of economic development. H. Fiscal year 23 school resource officer grant supplementary appropriation. Anyone would like to pull any of those items from D to H?
I'm good.
No,
yeah.
It's fine.
It's good? All right, can we have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All right, Mrs. Eager has motion to accept the consent agenda, and Mr. Fairchild, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Now, do we have any unfinished business? Hearing none, we have new business. And new business, we have Caleb Kimball. Resolution for him, for the Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts.
And I have the resolution on the screen, too, as well.
And this is it February, Saturday, February the 11th at 1? Anyone would like to go to do, anyone free to do that?
I'm not sure if I'm free. I took down the email address so I can email them either way.
Okay. I'm sure somebody will be there. I'd like for us to be present there. I mean, they're fun to do, and it's so good to see the kids. And, you know, let me see what I have on the Saturday. And what time is it? 1?
Yeah, 1 p.m.
Okay. Somebody be there. Let's communicate. I'll be there. Okay. All right. That's our new business. Now we will call our second.
Madam Chair, again, I have the resolution unless the board has any changes to it. Otherwise, we got the motion.
That's right. We have the motion. Everything make it official.
Okay. I move the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution entitled Recognizing Khalid Kimball for Award of Eagle Scout Status.
Second.
All right. It is motion by Mrs. Eager and seconded by Mr. Fairchild. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Thank you.
I have one quick item, and Eric and I talked about that.
Okay.
We would do this at another time because the two members being gone, but some late board members I had told that I thought it was going to be tonight, so I just want to, in case they're chiming in, that the request, I think I've emailed the board the other day, of whether the two boards could have some time to meet, and for those that might be listening in, we said that with the two missing, postpone that discussion.
All right. Okay. So, now we will open for the second public comments. Do we have anyone would like to speak to the board? Would you please come to the podium, give your name and address, and talk to the board? And you have 5 minutes.
I don't see anyone in the room.
No one wants to talk to us tonight. Anyone online?
I don't see anyone unmuting online. I see a couple people besides staff potentially, but I don't see anyone unmuting online.
Okay. All right, then I will close the second public comment section. Now we have a closed meeting. Mr. Fairchild, are you reading?
Yes, ma'am. So okay. I'll read the section and the text in each of these?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.6, investment of funds, discussion or consideration of the investment of public funds where competition or bargaining is involved. Section 2.2-3711A.7, litigation, consultation with legal counsel, and briefings by staff members or consultants pertaining to actual or probable litigation. Section 2.2-3711A.8, legal matters, consultation with legal counsel regarding specific legal matters. Section 2.2-3711A-19, public safety, discussion of plans to protect public safety. Of the Code of Virginia, 1950 is amended for the purpose of discussing investment of funds. Promotional materials for economic development, litigation, Flint condemnation, legal matters, former BRIMO power station, public safety, structure of emergency services, condition, Kent Store Firehouse.
Okay, so we have a second. All right. We have Mr. Fairchild giving the orders for our closed session, and Mrs. Eager seconded. So right now we are in closed session.
Madam Chair, I move the closed meeting, the adjourn, and the Fundana County Board of Supervisors convene again in an open session. Then I do the be it resolved. Is that right?
I don't have it.
Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Okay, we need a second.
Second.
And then I do individual votes.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Fairchild?
Aye.
Mrs. Seeger?
Aye.
The chair
votes aye.
So we are out of closed session. Mr. Dahl?
Yes. Let's see here. Okay, so we got our Board of Supervisors budget work session for February 1, 2023. So this evening, I will be going over my, kind of a high-level view of my county administrator's budget proposal, and then myself and Ms. Melton will tag team the revenues and expenditures, going in a little more detail, but still not too much. We'll try and make it so your eyes aren't glazed over too much from numbers. If you want to get your eyes glazed over, you got a big purple budget book in front of you, and we're happy to discuss any of that.
Time reading.
Yep. All right. So, good evening, Mr. Payne. So I'm ready to prepare my county administrator's FY24 budget proposal. And again, some things will change as we go down the road. Let me just kind of hide some of this stuff here. Okay. So just some acknowledgments, certainly want to, the process included active participation and collaborative efforts with constitutional officers, agency heads, directors, and department heads. Certainly want to give a special recognition to Director of Finance, Tori Melton, and her staff for putting this together, and also Commissioner of Revenue, Mel Sheridan, and staff for kind of getting all the numbers and taxable values to come up with this budget number, come up with the budget proposal. Looking at budget development, again, there's careful review of revenue projections from all existing revenue sources. We do perform a detailed review of all expenditures for that from budgets that are requested. We certainly incorporate essential personnel requests that best support Fluvanna services, expansion, and technical needs. We want to support staff with compensation and competitive benefits plan. We identify any potential funding shortfalls for further discussion through the process, determine service gaps or new services needed, and then certainly when I want to look to refine and update future planning years. Just some budget pressures as have been kind of in the works here for a while. We have new and expanding water and sewer infrastructure needs in our designated growth areas. There's an increased cost for providing public safety. In this budget, there is a newly created Department of Emergency Services to provide paid county staff EMS providers. Also, under public safety, there's aging sheriff's patrol vehicles and fire and rescue apparatus that, we try and stay on a consistent path to replace every year. Looking at other things, we have aging facilities, fleet, and equipment that require significant maintenance. County and schools have combined over 33 buildings with HVAC systems, so just think about that. That's a lot of HVAC systems. And we have greater than 300 vehicles in total, so between buses and cars and trucks and things like that, there are a lot of vehicles. The increasing cost of goods services over the past 12 months, the consumer price index increased 6.5%. Fortunately, that is down from what it was in previous years. I think when I did the same thing over a year ago, I think it was probably closer to 7 or 8% at that point a year ago. So it is going down a little bit. And, you know, we want to maintain competitive salaries and benefits for county and school staff. And, you know, certainly, you know, we do all this while still, you know, having a, you know, a fairly high existing debt load. But the good thing is we've got a low interest, a lot of low interest rate debt out there. So, you know, we've taken out some smart debt in the past. So this budget proposal, the budget totals, my recommended proposal totals $99,799,941. So it is based upon a real estate tax rate of 81 cents per 100. So just remember, our current tax rate is 87 cents. That's what our tax rate is for fiscal year 23. Because this year is a reassessment, the equalized tax rate, meaning what is the same amount of revenue we got last year, and how does that equate to this year with those same amount of homes, that gives us an equalized tax rate of 77.5 cents. So we're going from 87 cents and we're equalizing that tax rate down to 77.5 cents. So my budget proposal is recommending an 81 cent tax rate. So again, that is a tax rate increase in from the equalized tax rate. And that tax rate results in a 4.5% tax increase for the average homeowner. Also in my budget, again, you know, as we look at all the revenues, so last year, during last budget cycle, we had a big increase in values for personal property. And because of that large increase in values for personal property, the county lowered the personal property tax rate 65 cents. Well, from the numbers that I've received thus far from the commissioner's office, we've had a fairly significant decrease in those same taxable values. So to start the budget off with that decrease in taxable values, that gave us a $1.2 million deficit to start off with. So if we had high values last fiscal year and we dropped the rate, now those values have gone down. So to be able to come up with a balanced budget, I had to increase the personal property tax rate back up. So remember, last year we went from $4.35 down to $3.70. In my budget proposal, has it increasing the personal property tax rate from 370 up to 415. So if you look over the 2-year period, it is still a net decrease of 20 cents. But I think in all of these values, you know, we will get some additional updated values from the commissioner's office as we go through the budget process. But as he was kind of going through and looking at vehicles and seeing kind of where they were, he was seeing some drops in values. In my budget proposal, there's no change to the business and public utility personal property tax rates. They remain at $2.90 per $100 of assessed value. And there's no change to machinery and tools tax rates, which remains at $1.90. So overall, in my budget proposal, it's an overall increase of the total budget in county expenditures by $677,157, which equates to a 0.7% increase from the FY23 amended budget. Now, the one caveat I will say to that is one, we don't have the school's budget requests yet. So certainly, you know, their budget actually went down from looking at their state and federal numbers. Now, I don't know what their county ask is going to be, but we'll find that out on February 15th. I don't want to guess, but I would imagine it's probably above being flat, if I had to guess correctly.
So did you just say that the state and federal is giving the schools less?
Yes, because remember, so I don't want to say they're giving less. I want to say from a federal standpoint, a lot to balance their budget last year. They had a lot of federal funds, a lot of federal ARPA funds that they were still utilizing that really assisted them with their budget. From the state standpoint, I can pull up the sheet.
I didn't send you the news where the education department had made a big mistake on appropriating to schools and schools were going to lose funding.
I did not hear that.
I sent it to Dr. Grant. I didn't send.
Well, and again, the state and federal numbers, I received those from Ms. Gillum at the school board office because those are kind of what they're projecting. Again, not knowing what their overall budget is. Right. Yeah, again, when I spoke to her prior to making...
And that mistake may not affect small accounts, but it's really affecting like Fairfax and Reichold, these big counties. So we may not be too much of an effect.
Sure.
I hope not.
You know what, here, there's, I want to apologize right now because this top area right here, this header is incorrect, and I apologize. You can disregard a decrease by 16.7 million. That was last year. That piece did not get updated, so I apologize for that. But again, for the expenditures, it was an increase of 677,000. For the current year, it's an overall increase of 600. Obviously, if there's an increase in expenditures by 677, there's an increase in revenues by 677 because I have to provide, I have to give you a balanced budget, and it is a balanced budget. The chart down here reflects what amount of revenues we had last year. You can see it's 99,122,000, and you can see my proposed budget is 99,799,000. That's where the 677,000 increase comes in. So disregard that top thing. But again, some of the increases and decreases, again, there's an increase, you know, by increasing the tax rate. That's primarily where the increase is coming in for the $2.5 million. And that's not all from taxes. You know, we've had an increase in sales tax, and there's some increase in tax revenue as well. The next bullet, as you see with the revenues we receive from the schools right now, it's showing a decrease of $3.4 million in school revenue. Again, because they have less ARPA funding than they did. So that's kind of a big piece of that. There is a net increase of almost, you know, $650,000 in debt service revenue. And really, that's really from, again, we've got expenditures for debt service. This year, probably about 2-3 years ago, we ended up doing some, we had some VPSA, Virginia Public School Authority debt that we actually ended up refinancing. And because we refinanced some of that debt, we're getting a rebate. So this fiscal year, we're starting to realize the full rebate, which is about, I think it's about an additional $200,000 over what we previously had. So it necessarily lowers our overall debt burden. There is a net increase of about a little over $900,000 in recommended CIP projects that I've proposed. Remember, in this budget year, there was about over $10 million in CIP requests, and I did not fund $10 million of CIP requests. I funded about half of those requests with a combination, and I'll go into that, with a combination of a fund balance and some ARPA funds to do that. And then there were some small decreases in enterprise funds and a little increase in revenues from social services of $16,000. When you look at expenditures, you know, in the chart there to your right, again, as with the previous screen of revenues, you can see $99,122,000. That's what the current fiscal year 23 amended budget expenditures are, and you can see my proposed expenditure budget for all these different functions is the $99,799,000. And again, so the overall budget at this point is an increase of 0.7%. So I'll just kind of go through some of the highlights of some of the bigger items. And really, when I say bigger items, maybe departments that had, you know, right around $100,000 or more increase. I mean, certainly in the big budget summary sheet by every single department, it shows, you know, every single increase and decrease from whether it's down to, you know, $15 or up to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So under general government, under the county attorney department, we've got about a little over $121,000 increase. And remember, that's because the county is transitioning from a contractual county attorney department to having an in-house county attorney department. So there's some increased costs for that. Under the IT department, information technology, there's a little over $140,000 increase. Of that $140,000, $80,000 of it is for a new position, a new IT system engineer. And so that $80,000 also includes salary and benefits. Then also in the IT budget, there is a increase of $25,000 for a new software subscription. The Commissioner of Revenue is going to be proposing a new software program for what he does in his office. And so just from a standpoint of kind of budgeting, we budgeted what the annual software subscription amount would be, and that's $25,000, kind of in the IT budget. It kind of houses anything software related for annual subscriptions and maintenance costs. And then plus just there's some additional costs for, you know, outfitting, you know, new equipment for staff and, you know, network infrastructure replacements. Under public safety, the sheriff's office has about a $200,000 increase. Of that, about close to $80,000, again, is including salary, benefits, and the needed equipment and supplies for that position, is for a new court deputy position. There's also about $103,000 for operational increases. Of that, their fuel amounts went up significantly for what they're paying for gas and the amount that they're expending. And plus they're requesting to implement a new policy and compliance solution for LEOs, and that totals about just under $15,000. Under the E911 department, there over last fiscal year 2023, there's a $126,000 budget increase, and that's basically to replace radios. E91 budget kind of oversees all of the communication aspects of the county and the and kind of the radio communication system. So the large majority of that is to just get on a cycle, and they're coming up to the year now to start replacing some of those radios. The biggest increase in the budget, as we discussed before, is the emergency services budget. That over fiscal year 23, that's about a $1.6 million increase. Again, the board moved forward with the county hiring a Department of EMS in fiscal year 23. For this is going to include an EMS supervisor, hiring 16 EMT, ALS, and BLS providers, hiring part-time EMT, ALS, and BLS providers, and then certainly all the operational costs that go along with that. Also in my budget request, it includes a recommendation for a new position for a chief of fire in EMS. And again, as the county is growing and we're moving forward to look at increased services for the community, that position is going to be a needed position for Fluvanna County. Under health and welfare, again, purchases of services, they had about just under $100,000 increase for community-based services. Just remember, for every dollar that they spend, there's about a 60 cent match from the state for those dollars. So from an expenditure standpoint, it shows about $100,000, but that's not the true cost. We budget the revenue elsewhere in the revenue budget. And then also, kind of the next big piece is under a non-departmental budget. That is the place where I kind of plan for and put the wedge in if there's any salary increases overall for all staff or any health insurance changes. So for health insurance and pay increase, I've budgeted for a 5% COLA for staff. And I'll talk a little bit more about it as we go in. I've got a couple slides that kind of go into a little more detail. And then I've also budgeted for the county covering a portion of the health insurance of our projected health insurance increase. And I'll talk about that a little bit more too. So again, as I just said, talking about employee compensation, again, I've got in my budget a 5% COLA, which equates to about $557,000. Every 1% equates to about $111,000. So remember, from the state standpoint, from the state for constitutional officers, from the Compensation Board and Department of Social Services from the state is proposing a 5% increase for their state-supported positions, From that standpoint, the board has always kind of been of the mindset that if we're funding a COLA for some staff, we do it for all. And I think it's important that we recognize that too. So a 5% COLA costs $157. The offset from the state for those 5% for the state supported positions is about $155. So it's roughly about a $400,000 increase to implement a 5% COLA. The chart to the right here just kind of shows you what are the COLA amounts that have increased over the years, over the kind of the past 10-year period. And then kind of there's a description off to the side that shows, you know, were there any additional things above and beyond kind of the standard COLA as well. And certainly last year the board approved a 5% COLA plus we did the implementation of the compensation study too, which on top of the 5%, there was a 3-6%, there's a 3-6% increase to kind of deal with compression and bring positions up above the baseline. Looking at health insurance right now, we don't have any solid set numbers at this point. Just kind of from an industry standard, there's discussions of about a 10% increase. A 10% increase for our current health insurance wages amounts to about $199,000. In my budget, I've included a half of that amount. So the board can determine what they want to do moving forward, but at some point, like a lot of localities, you know, there's going to be some point where there will need to be some sharing of the cost increases that happen. And so, again, I did not fund the full projected 10% increase in my budget. I funded 5%. But again, probably within the next month or so, way long before the budget is approved, we'll get concrete numbers from our insurance provider on what the actual increase is going to be, so you can make a better informed decision throughout the budget process. For new positions, as I discussed a little bit before, excuse me, we have a number of new positions proposed this year. Some of the larger ones, you know, as I talked about, we talked about a new county attorney department. So there's three positions associated with the county attorney department. There's a position for IT. There is a court deputy position. Public Works requested two positions, a carpenter and an HVAC apprentice. And again, from the Department of Emergency Services, there was a lot of positions for that department. Again, in my budget, I proposed a chief of fire and EMS, an EMS supervisor, and 16 EMT providers plus part-time to upgrade that department. There was also a couple position upgrades for existing positions to move to kind of transform a little bit the assistant county administrator position to have oversight and more oversight and supervision of some departments as we're growing. I just can't effectively manage all the departments and direct reports that I have as it is. And just one thing too to note, a lot of counties around us, a majority of all counties around us, at least have at least one, if not two, assistant/deputy county administrators that have department oversight, other department oversight. And you remember when Mr. Nichols was here before, you know, there was probably about three or four years before he recommended having an assistant county administrator or deputy, and he recommended me at that time. And then there's some transitions of converting under the Public Utilities Department, converting that position from an assistant director to a director of public utilities, and making public utilities more of a standalone department on its own. And then there is a request for a park maintenance worker to go from part-time to full-time. So in a lot of the positions, again, some of these were positions that the board already discussed. So the top part of this are positions that I have included in my proposal. In the bottom piece, I did not include the one position, the HVAC apprentice position. And in my budget summary, and in the board's budget books right there, I've got about a 12-page executive summary that kind of goes over a lot of this stuff. you know, kind of, you know, pretty similar, if not maybe a little more in detail on some of this, but it'll give you a high level of what's included, what's not included. And you're not going to be able to see this, and I apologize, but as I stated, we had about $10.4 million of CIP requests. Again, I funded, and I can see right now that all the totals didn't show up. I funded about half of those. What I would recommend, instead of trying to see it on the screen here, certainly in your budget book, you'll have the big 11 by 17 CIP sheet, and it'll go into more detail of which projects that were requested that I funded or I didn't fund. And some projects, you know, for instance, I'll just give you one example here. Public Works requested a major equipment purchase, and so there may be a request for equipment. I maybe funded a portion of it. Maybe, let's just say, for instance, there was a request for maybe two pieces of equipment or two vehicles. I maybe didn't fund both of them. So in your budget document too, there'll be columns that shows what amounts I included in my proposed budget in CIP and what amounts were not included for what was proposed for fiscal year 24. And then just a little bit further looking at fund balance, and we talked about this before, so the county, you know, has a pretty robust and maintain a pretty conservative fund balance level of 12% of general fund revenues, less that contribution we give to the schools. So as we discussed before, as of June 30th, we had about a little over $10 million of unassigned restricted fund balance that we can't touch. That's kind of like rainy day funds. That's like worst, I don't want to say rainy day funds, that's like emergency funds, like worst case scenario funds that we want to make sure we have on hand at all times. Above and beyond that, we have about another just under about $16 million of fund balance that the board can choose to use for projects and stuff. So again, you know, we've been building our fund balance up, and I think that's a good thing. And I think with the way that prices are for things, I don't necessarily think it's prudent to spend $10 million in 1 year and pull that fund balance level down to levels that are getting, you know, that are getting lower than probably where we want to be. Just some economic factors, and you've seen this before, you know, unemployment in Fluvanna County currently, the chart to your left just shows the unemployment trends from Fluvanna, the state, and across the U.S., and you can see the big blip in 2020 because of the COVID pandemic. You know, currently, though, we are back down around pre-pandemic unemployment levels. The most recent data I could pull for November, that's what's available, that's the most recent available, shows unemployment for Fluvanna County at 2.6%. Looking at sales tax revenue, so the sales tax chart to the right. So the blue line is kind of the trend line for the state of Virginia per thousand. And the red line shows the Fluvanna kind of trend for sales tax revenue over the past, 8 or 9 years or so. And you can see, you know, over the past, from 2018 going on up, we've had a pretty good uptick in sales tax revenue. A little bit of that is one, because the state imposed some things where online retailers now must collect sales tax and remit it to the locality. So, for instance, when someone orders Amazon and you're at your home, Fluvanna County benefits from that sales tax from that online order. And plus, too, I think people are a little more cognizant, too, about shopping a little bit more local since the pandemic. So, again, we've had good growth in our sales tax revenue. Looking at population growth, again, from 2000 to 2010, you know, we increased about 28%, and that was really from the big build-out of Lake Monticello. From the 2010 to 2020 census, we certainly leveled out a lot more at about around 6.1%. Some of the information on the left really kind of talks about building permits. You can see overall building permits, we've had good growth. Now, this doesn't mean new homes. That down below shows new homes, but this is total building permits, whether it's a new home, whether someone adds on a deck, whether you get a pool or whatever. That's kind of what accounts for total building permits. So you can see from fiscal year 21 to fiscal year 22, we had a 33% increase in the county in new building permits. And when you look at the building building permits, the building inspections report in the board package, you can really see that we've added onto the taxable values because of that. Looking at permits for new home construction, you can see over the past 2 to 3 years, we've had some, you know, I don't want to say huge decline, but we've had some modest declines in new home construction. And some of that just because of, you know, prices are just getting out of control and we're getting kind of a low inventory. I'm sure at some point in the next year or two, that's going to potentially level off at some point. But you can see, you know, over the past couple of years, we've had a slight decline in building permits.
For, you know, 77%.
Yep.
For every X, and there's a re-X.
Yeah. So yeah, so from 2019 to 2020, we had a 77% increase, and now it's starting to kind of go in the reverse a little bit. And just as we look at new revenue sources, again, the board implemented some new revenue sources over the past, let's say over the past 5-6 years. You know, you implemented cost recovery, you know, you implemented trailer license fees. The board implemented a cigarette tax last year. The only new tax that the board could consider at this point, back in 2018, some laws changed from the General Assembly, and back in 2018, the board put a referendum to the voters if they wanted to implement a meals tax. And the meals tax was voted down at that point by the voters. I don't remember what percentage that was.
Can you find that out? Let us know.
Yeah, I can find that out. Let me just make a note here. Yeah, I can find that out. Since that time, new legislation passed. It was in July in 2020 that now allows for localities. It gave localities the same tax. Gave localities more of the same taxing authority that cities have. That localities, as of 2020, could implement a meals tax in their locality without it going to referendum. Now, referendum to the voters. Now, there was some language in that legislation that came out that said if you did a referendum previously, you had to wait for 6 years after that referendum failed. So the referendum went out to the voters in November of 2018. 2024, this is the 6 year mark. I think November of this year of 2020, well, November of I'm sorry. Not this year, one more year. What's that? Oh, Kelly, okay. Information you wanted on the meal tax. Yays were 29%, nays were 70%. And I'm sure there's, yeah.
There's your
information. So again, I apologize. We couldn't implement this until about the fiscal year 25 budget because we had to wait until November of 2024. So you really couldn't consider it this year, but if the board wanted to consider it for the next budget cycle, you could. I was off on my dates when I was doing this last night. And again, just estimates of what was shown. Meals tax would generate the equivalent of about 1 to 2 cents, equivalent tax rate cents, you know, which was roughly $300,000 to $600,000. And again, that figure is a little outdated, but that's kind of the running total for what we would potentially see for Savannah County. But that's really the only new revenue source that in the future that's really kind of out there that the county could really tap onto. Well, I take that back. We have some other revenue sources that we don't have that other localities have. Lodging tax. The county could implement a lodging tax. Now we don't have any hotels in the county. Now the board wants to have a deeper conversation about Airbnbs, the board could consider a lodging tax in conjunction with the Airbnb short-term rental discussion. In addition, there's one more that I'm thinking about that I'm drawing a blank on. Lodging tax, meals tax, oh, BPOL. But again, I think the board was of the mindset that a a B-pole tax was really not anything that they were interested in doing, but it's certainly something in the future that the board could. So those are just some taxes that other localities have, some of our surrounding neighbors have that we don't have.
I was just going to add, people sometimes ask me what I think about that, and I say, you know, we're not Virginia Beach, we're not Williamsburg, where there's all this tourism, where people come show up and we can get money from them, and then they go home and school their own children in another municipality. So in some ways, to me, and it's fitting that it would show that it's 1 to 2 cents of real estate tax, because in some ways, to me, it's almost a massive, but it's hidden tax that we could just go ahead and charge in real estate, because the citizens are going to, real estate or personal property, because it's mostly the citizens that are going to pay for it anyway.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, I mean, yeah, I would agree with you, though. I mean, in the current state of Fluvanna County, I would say that's probably mostly true. I would say maybe if Zion's Crossroads had more of a retail piece to it, well, then if you're getting people from other localities coming, spending their money in our county and going elsewhere, I think that would maybe be the argument if the board so selected to go that route. But I think, you know, currently, I think you would probably get a lot of internal Fluvanna folks paying the tax for meals and stuff. But that's, again, that's a discussion for the board to have down the road. And really, that's kind of really the big piece I have. Again, this just kind of shows some upcoming budget meetings that we have. Again, we put that on the slide. So on February 22nd, with this being a reassessment year, on February 22nd, we're going to have to set a max advertising tax rate because it's a reassessment year. So that is kind of like the high water mark that the board wants to go to at that point. Once the board sets the max real estate tax rate for advertising, there's still many, many weeks of the board kind of determining where they want to end up from a tax rate from that point. But because it's a reassessment year, we have to say, look, here's what the rate is right now. It's going down to this rate as an equalized rate, and because it's a reassessment year, we have to set what that max rate is. Again, we don't adopt the budget until April 19th, so there's lots of weeks to kind of come up from that high watermark and kind of whittle it down from that point. But again, I'm happy to answer any questions that the board has. Again, we have your budget binders for you, and again, I think my budget message talks about that. We've got it going to the library, and within the next, hopefully by the end of the week, we will have the electronic budget book of what you have there. That'll be on the website as well.
On the 9th, when we meet with the school board.
Yep.
At 6:30. We'll come meet them here in this building.
On the, are you talking about for you and myself?
School board meeting. No, when do we meet the schools?
Oh, I'm sorry, February 9th, that's when the school board adopts their budget. That's a school board meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, those items
in blue.
Yeah, those items in blue are for the school board. Yeah. Okay. So the school board, February 2nd, well, that's actually tomorrow, they have their school board work session where they hear the superintendent's budget and they have a public hearing.
Okay.
And then the following week, they have their budget adoption.
Okay.
And then the following week after that, they come to the board with their proposal.
So they come to us?
Yep, on February 15th.
Okay, how are we going to set them up at the queue?
Well,
you're gonna figure that out.
We discussed, we didn't necessarily plan on having a big joint budget work session.
Okay.
I think last year what we did is the superintendent came here and kind of presented his budget.
No, we weren't.
Did we have a?
We weren't here. We were.
We were here.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I remember Dr. Gretz came up. I don't believe that we had a...
Okay, but the members could come.
Oh, certainly. I think that during that time, some of the school board members did come, and they were there, and they had an opportunity to come up and speak.
Okay. Could you tell me how much a penny and a nickel's worth?
Yes.
This time I'll put it on.
You know what? How about we do this? When Miss Melton comes up for her, she's got the penny and the nickel calculation what it is in her presentation.
Okay.
I just don't recall what it is, and I want to give you the the wrong number, but her presentation definitely does have it because we worked on it today.
Okay.
So, again, you know, this is just a basic review of kind of the overarching budget. You know, certainly as time goes on, you know, we're happy to, you know, gather any information that you have, you know, in the weeks to come or currently, and happy to answer any questions that the board has, you know, in the weeks to come.
Do I understand correctly, like you and I were talking about today, that about that Tony could participate in this because there's nothing being voted on his budget session on Zoom. Do I understand that in the, as long as, I mean, like if I'm Zooming in, I just have a lot of business stuff that's very potentially in the next couple months going to put me traveling a lot. And so if there's nothing to vote on, if I was Zooming in from a hotel room, could I participate in budget discussions?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I'll have to ask Fred because the same question came up in a similar thing. I think from a work session standpoint, you know, you all are not necessarily making any votes or anything like that. I believe so. Let me just confirm with Fred on that. Just, I mean, it sounds like you've got some things coming up, and we'll try and see and kind of hone that in a little bit better so you can better plan, and we can better plan too, so we can make some correct decisions on how to move forward. That's kind of all I have for my high level. Again, Ms. Melton will come up and she'll kind of go over some more of the numbers a little bit, and we'll try not to go too deep into it because again, we don't want to make your eyes glaze over, but the budget books contain a lot of that. So,
okay.
So any questions on my budget proposal at this point?
Okay. Ms. Melton.
Okay, come on up.
Worth knowing for any citizens watching, each of us has already met with Eric and gotten most of what we're hearing today.
Yeah, so. I mean, again, my budget proposal from when we met with some board members on two at a time, again, we couldn't meet with Mr. O'Brien. He was out of the area last week, so he hasn't seen a lot of this, and plus he's not here tonight. But again, a lot of this, from what when we met, I think it changed, but it changed ever so slightly a little bit.
And,
yep.
How are you?
Hi.
And so Ms. Melton said she wanted to phone a friend here and there, but I said, you take it, and if you need me, I'm here for you.
This is the first time I'm doing the quick
And you might want to
overview.
Pull that a little closer to your down.
I know they were all telling me not to be soft-spoken this week, right?
Yep. Pull it closer or louder.
So I'm going to give you a quick, brief overview of the FY24 budget. Next slide, please. So I apologize, this slide does say FY23 COAD proposed, but it's 24. So with the proposed budget of $99,799,000, this just gives you a quick overview of where our revenues are at 41 being property tax, 37% state, 12 local, and 5 from federal, and 5 from use of fund balance. With expenditures, it just shows us where some of our biggest expenditures are, with 51% of that being the school division, 31 being general government operations, 7 debt service, 4%, debt service for the schools is 7%, 4% for county debt service, 3% for enterprise, and 4% for capital. Next slide. This slide shows you our general revenue summaries from FY22 to FY24. So you'll see here where it gives us our FY22 actuals totaling the 57.7, the amended budget of 60, and the COED's proposed budget of 61.5. That shows us between 24 to 23 where we've had any increases or decreases, with an overall increase of 1.5. This gives us our top 4 local revenue sources, with real estate, personal property, public service, and local sales tax. Shows you what we received for actuals in 22, amended in FY23, and our COED proposed at 2.8, again with our FY24 to 23 increases and or decreases. This shows us our Commonwealth of Virginia revenue with our PPTRA, Compensation Board, CSA, Social Services, and Miscellaneous, totaling 8.5.
And again, these are the counties, kind of as part of the county's general fund. These are our largest state revenues that we get. Again, if you include the schools in there, that would blow this whole chart right off the map. So again, it doesn't include the schools.
Yeah, what is miscellaneous? What's included in miscellaneous?
Miscellaneous. You know, we get some state revenues from, I'm trying to think, we get like a communications tax. Yes. We get, I'm trying to think.
Cell tower.
What's that?
Is it cell tower as well?
No, not that one. There's communications tax. There was, I'm drawing a blank on it right now.
Okay, you can.
Again, it's in the budget book.
Yeah.
And again,
I'll look in the book.
When you're in the budget book, again, mm-hmm. for everything, you show everything detailed about the
all
budget.
Right.
You got my letter. You have every single revenue that we get, every single revenue line. If you wanna geek out and you wanna like really dig into the actuals of every single revenue line from state and local, you can see all that. And plus it's got all the individual budget sheets showing all the individual expenditures too.
So
my
voter friend here.
Yeah. Yeah, so on this one here, I mean, really what this shows, and we started doing this some years ago, so the board really understands the calculation from how we get to the taxable values that the commissioner provides. Again, within that taxable real estate value, we also have non-taxable real estate that we can't tax. You know, for instance, churches, things like that. The county does have non-taxable value. So then that gives you what is kind of the new taxable value. And then every year there are things that reduce that overall taxable value. People can apply for land use, conservation easements, open space agreements. There's tax relief for the elderly and veterans. So again, we take that $3.5 million value, we reduce it some because of those different programs that we have, and then it gives us kind of our new revised taxable value. So you take that $3.1 billion, divide by 100 times the tax rate, and then that gives you what is the revenue we get off of that. And then every year we budget for a certain collection percent. Over the years we budget generally about 97.5% for real estate, and then we budget a lesser number for personal property, and we'll show you that. I think it's 92.5. But again, so that gives you actually that amount should be a little bit less than to 24,918 would be 97%, so that would be a little bit less from that there.
I would be interested, not right now, in how many elderly do get a rebate and how many veterans. Yeah. Veterans have to have 100% disability.
Yeah.
Before they can get their real estate taxes, they don't have to pay it. And when
yeah.
they die, their wives can take that, right?
Yeah, next week.
That's not a whole lot of, yeah, that's a lot of.
Yeah, next week again. I mean, so tax relief. I mean, that's an $83 million
yeah.
decrease in values.
Right.
Next week on February 8th, when we have the constitutional officers, I'm sure the commissioner can provide some mm-hmm. of those numbers as well. He's probably pretty familiar with that information.
Large, but
yeah.
This next slide is just a real estate tax rate comparison for the last 10 years with a lot of the neighboring counties, just showing where our rates are in comparison with theirs.
Yeah, and just one thing to add on this. So the green is kind of the highest one. So the city of Charlottesville, from our surrounding area, they've had the highest tax rate. And the red is the locality that has the lowest tax rate. The one thing I want to add to this Goochland one, so remember, if you're in rural Goochland, you have a 53% tax rate. But if you're closer to the West End, mm-hmm. around, you know,
Hills
kind
Ridge.
Of around the Tuckahoe
yeah,
Creek
right.
area, there's an ad valorem tax that goes on top of that. That's about, I think it equates to about 30 or 35 cents for that. But from a base tax rate, that is the tax rate in Goochland, if you're not close to the more urban area in Goochland.
And I noticed, by the way, we talked in that budget discussion that Louisa, you said you thought they kept that rate every year.
Yeah.
And can you explain what you were saying then?
Well, yeah, I mean,
you
know,
some municipality.
Yeah, I mean, every year, I mean, again, when you go through a reassessment every year, some localities will adjust the tax rate a little bit with the reassessment. You know, so if you look at Fluvanna, for instance, you can see our tax rates go up and down every, you know, I don't want to say every year. Well, I mean, they do go up and down every year, but every year it's not because of a reassessment. Generally, when Fluvanna County has a reassessment, they generally, one, by law, we have to say what the new equalized tax rate is. But some localities will say, well, here's what the new equalized tax rate is, but we're leaving our tax rate exactly, the number exactly the same. So those years where maybe your equalized tax rate is lower, but from a just keeping a flat tax rate, some localities just keep their tax rates very flat. So what that means is some years they get a big, kind of get a big surplus of revenue that goes back into their fund balance, and maybe some years they use fund balance to offset and balance out their budget. Fluvanna has been more along the lines of, we're going to adjust the tax rate kind of, you know, the way that the reassessments flow.
Thank you.
Yep.
This is our real estate penny calculation based off the real estate values, public utilities, mobile home values we were given from the Commissioner of Revenue's office. If we collected at 100% collection rate, it would be $371,792 per penny. And it, at the bottom rate overall, it would be $363,594.
So that goes back to your question, Ms. Booker. That's the penny, 363,594.
And a nickel. Oh,
we're coming up. We're coming
so
up to a nickel.
Coming up
yep.
Nickel. Oh, okay.
Nickel's a few slides ahead.
Yeah. All right.
This next slide shows us a 10-year comparison of overall our collection rates and delinquent tax collections. So you have our FY22 actuals in here at $785,676, and for FY23 we budgeted collecting $700.
Yeah, and for the current budget year two, I've bumped up the revenue. My budgeted revenue for delinquent taxes, I think I bumped it up to $735,000 this year. Again, you can kind of see, you know, we're averaging out to that high to mid seven mark. Again, I don't want to be too conservative because you never know, 1 year, you know, you could have a little bit of a tick down, but just kind of looking at the trend of things, you can see kind of where we are. So
I wonder, with the delinquent tax collection, how much of this is where we auction off property?
I don't think that is. I think a lot of this
basically is individuals paying
yep.
their taxes.
Catching up on taxes, yeah. Or
have installment plans.
Yeah, they either have installment plans or maybe mm-hmm. they have a good tax return year
yeah.
and they right. they catch up on what they may be delinquent on.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's other circumstances, okay. obviously, as well.
Well, that's good. And that is in the budget. You did put that in the budget.
Oh yeah, I've got. Okay. I budgeted for this current budget year $735,000. I think is
right.
the number.
Based off of the personal property tax information that we've received from the Commissioner of Revenue at this point, this just shows well, minus our personal property tax relief, that our net revenue collections would be $10.6 million.
Yep, it just shows you that we get, you know, $10 million from just vehicles, residence vehicles and stuff like that, and from business personal property we get about $500,000. So we're trying to change that trajectory a little bit there. So yep,
this is the personal property tax comparison rate for the last 10 years with our neighboring counties, again showing with the highest being in green at 5 and the lowest being in.
Yeah, so this one's a little more cut and dry. Again, I think everyone, for the most part, you can see, you know, personal property tax rates have been, you know, fairly consistent in some localities. And again, this past year, some localities, when we had that big jump in taxable value, when we and every other locality had those big jumps in taxable values, the Board of Supervisors made the decision to lower our personal property tax rate by 65 cents. Some localities just kept the tax rate exactly where it was, and some localities got a big bump in revenue that year from keeping the same tax rate and those increased values.
Are we able to save these pages in a way that we can, if we wanted to send this page to somebody?
Yeah, so all these slides, all the PowerPoints are always on the county's website. So I mean, what we could do after everything's all uploaded, we could send you a link to the presentation if you want, or
I don't know much about it, but I could, on the county website, I could grab this page.
Yeah, just want these pages, one thing we are going to do is we can provide you these pages if you want for your budget binder books, if you want those, or we could just PDF these individual pages if you all are interested in that.
I mean, I'd like to share these with some people.
Okay.
Yep. But our personal property taxes in our fourth is 35.
I just noticed that. That's, say that yeah, update didn't change on the slide.
Yeah.
370.
It's 370, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's correct. And so there's probably a few little odds and ends.
Yeah,
I think
fine.
Before we
yeah.
put it out,
yeah.
Again, we're just going to need to make a few little tweaks there.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
That is, the next slide shows our business personal property tax comparison mm-hmm. to our neighboring counties, with our the highest being in green and lowest being in red.
And just one thing to note on this one's way more complicated. Mm-hmm. It's hard to give a 10-second elevator pitch on this one, because a lot of localities have a lot of different depreciation schedules. For instance, some localities will say, we're going to depreciate our business personal property. Maybe it's taxed at 80% the first year, 60%, then 40%, then 20%. Then maybe it's 20% for the life of it. For Fluvanna County, we tax ours at 20% for 10 years.
And then it drops off.
After 10 years, it drops off. So different localities kind of do things a little bit differently. So looking at the tax rate is one thing, but to really understand it, you would really have to plug in the numbers to say, okay, well, what is their tax rate and what is their depreciation schedule for something versus what is ours? We did a little example of that some years ago, and with the way our tax rate is and the way that we've got an aggressive depreciation schedule, we're not too far off from our neighbors with Louisa, and you can see their tax rate is significantly lower than ours too. So
our personal property nickel calculation with the information provided was overall $166,177.
So that goes back to your questions, Booker. That's the nickel amount.
Excellent. This gives you a 10-year overview of the personal property tax collection rate, with actuals in 22 being $521,687, and in FY23 we budgeted to receive $600,000.
Yeah, and so you can see in this one, so this is for the personal property, you can see over the past, 19, 20, 21, we were a little higher, and then last year in 22 we had a little bit of a dip. And so those are the types of things that we try and account for. You can see going back to fiscal year 16, we've always budgeted right around, probably around, I think it's fluctuated since I've been here, $500,000 to $600,000 or so for delinquent collections. And boy, we really got a surprise in fiscal year 16 when we didn't meet that, when we only got $198,000, where we've seen some consistent amounts otherwise. I think for the fiscal year 24 budget, I think I budgeted $610,000.
It'd be interesting to see how much is delinquent in a year compared to how much delinquency was collected in a year, like a side by side.
Okay.
Just to, do we gain ground? Do we maintain?
Okay. Okay. Yep, I've got some notes here. Okay.
With the information we received for the net taxable real estate and personal property values for public service divided by the 100 times our proposed tax rate, the net revenue for collections is 3.5 for yeah. public service.
Yeah, so remember, public service again is, Tenasca, mm-hmm. Aqua Virginia, Dominion Energy, big companies like that.
This just shows you from 2004 to 2023 the operating budget and CIP for the schools in the county, with the county being in red and schools in blue.
And really in 2022, that year, the board approved a lot of CIP, and they approved again with debt funded. So that's why the red, the overall budget is really high that year. There was a lot of CIP that the board approved that year. And again, this is kind of a hard thing to really show because we don't have the school's full budget request at this point. So the item in the blue, it could be a little underrepresented at this point because we don't really know what their final adopted request is going to be.
What kind of taxes do we get from forestry? Is that shown anywhere?
Forestry, like,
yes, lumber people cut the trees.
I don't think we do.
I don't think we do.
They don't pay taxes on it.
I don't, but again, maybe.
I
don't believe so. Yeah, I don't believe we do.
So their profit from the whatever they glean from it is tax free.
It's tax. Sugar is taxed by the state and federal government.
Okay, yeah. I thought it had to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sheriff. Yeah,
Someone might have experience with that before.
Oh, yeah.
Then we sat in on the forestry and agriculture thing with, was it Baycom?
Yeah, so forestry is the number one source of revenue.
Number one source of revenue, but that's state people. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly some big forestry businesses, but I think individuals just you know, timbering their land. Again, as Sheriff said, he certainly has a firsthand experience with that. But yeah, so.
Okay.
This next slide shows.
We have just a few more, I think.
This is our general fund expenditure summary from FY22 to FY24 with our 22 actuals at 52. You can see there was an increase in the FY23 amended budget for expenditures at 58.1, and then the county admin's proposed at 61.2 with an overall increase from FY24 to 23 of 3 million. Next slide. Available for any questions.
And again, the budget books will have all this all information, but in granular detail level.
Yes.
Wow.
Bravo. Yeah. The first one. Good, great. That was good. Well, that might be the best budget presentation we had tonight.
Well, thank you.
Definitely was.
Thank you.
So that's all I have for the board this evening from a budget presentation. Again, you know, next week we have our constitutional officers. And so usually for the first couple weeks, you know, we have constitutional officers, and the following week we will have the school board's recommended budget. And then the week after that, the board has to set what their max advertising tax rate is. And again, from that point, that's kind of the high watermark, and there's lots
of
time.
And that's all in this calendar here.
It's all in the calendar, yep. The calendar's in there. I think it's within the first couple pages. It is in the front somewhere, uh-huh. Yep. So yeah, and then there is going to be lots of time to kind of, you know, once we get into the true budget work sessions, probably after the first, you know, 4 or so weeks, will be a lot of time to dig into the details, and, you know, we'll get additional values. Some things may change a little bit. We get more information on health insurance. Mel brings back additional taxable values, or maybe there's a little, we'll get the school budget.
The school budget will come to us when?
The 15th. Yep, February 15th is when the school budget.
15th.
Yep.
Okay.
And so we will know what their full ask is at that point.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Sorry, we don't have it. We finished the closed session.
That's it.
We need to adjourn. Anybody want to adjourn?
I'm with you.
All right, we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have adjourned. All in favor?
Aye.
The chair says aye.